Or rather, yeah. So anyway, Krishna also departed, and Vidura came back to Hastinapur. At this time, King Yudhishthir was the ruling monarch. The Pandavas were very, very happy to see Vidura come back. They welcomed him, and Vidura was more concerned about Dhritarashtra. So he went and saw Dhritarashtra, and he addressed him out of affection for his older brother. And he said, "My dear brother, just see your condition. You are so fearful now. You are under the clutches of time like all other living entities. And when the call of time comes, then time takes away even our life. What to speak of our wealth, our family, our possessions, and so on. Now in this condition, in old age, you are living such an undignified life. You are depending on the same people whom you try to kill by arson, by killing in so many ways. You even disrobed, or you tolerated, you did not object to the disrobing of Draupadi. You did all these things to the Pandavas, and now you are dependent on the Pandavas for your bread. And Bhima is throwing crumbs of bread at you, and you are subsisting on that." Of course, Bhima was not actually doing that, but he was speaking in a figurative sense. And he said, "What a tragedy. Look at you. You were already born blind. Now you have gone hard of hearing. Your chest is racked with cough. You're coughing up mucus. You are hardly able to walk properly now, and still you are attached to the luxuries and comforts of your body and the home. Time has come to leave and attain spiritual perfection. Do not stay any longer over here." So Vidura preached to him. He spoke very strong words, but those words were spoken out of love. Vidura was a very wise person, and Dhritarashtra was jolted out of his illusion. Because naturally we want to live in as comfortable a position as possible, and even in old age we want to be more comfortable. So today most people, when they retire, I'm talking of materialistic people, they just retire in their own homes and sit in front of the television all day. In India, at least, it's like that. Here, maybe they go for fishing or something. Or maybe spend some time in the bar, chatting. But there's no spiritual life. So retirement means sitting on the couch and watching television 24 hours a day. So because we want to be in the comfort of our own place. But Dhritarashtra was shaken out of his complacency. And Vidura told him, "Come on, we should go to the forest. We have both become old now." So then Dhritarashtra came to his senses. And then he woke up. He said, "Yes, let us go, Vidura." So Vidura and Dhritarashtra started leaving for the forest. And Vidura had told him, "Go without letting anybody know that you are going, because Yudhishthir will not let you go. Because he's such a righteous person, he will want to take care of you till the end, even though you have done such injustice to him. So let us go quietly." And then Gandhari, the wife of Dhritarashtra, said, "I am also coming." That was Vanaprastha. So the three of them quietly left in the middle of the night and went away without telling anybody. The next day, when Yudhishthir Maharaj came looking for Dhritarashtra to offer respects to him the first thing in the morning, he could not find them. Neither Vidura, nor Dhritarashtra, nor Gandhari. And he started to lament. Then he asked Sanjay. Sanjay also realized what had happened. He was also lamenting. Sanjay said, "I do not know. I have been cheated by the great soul Vidura and by Dhritarashtra. They have not told me, and they have left." Then Narad Muni came, and Narad Muni informed them that they have left, and they have gone to the southern side of the Himalayas. They are engaged in austerities and devotional service there. And he said, 5 days from now, Dhritarashtra will leave his body by attaining spiritual perfection. Then the Bhagavatam describes exactly how that happened. So Dhritarashtra in his old age was fortunate to take to Krishna consciousness. All through his life he didn't take it. But at the end he was able to do it. Why? Because of the mercy of a great devotee, Vidura. Vidur was a great devotee. So because of Vidur's mercy and his teachings and his harsh words of love, Dhritarashtra was able to break the shackles of his material attachments, and he perfected his life in old age. Another instance of when one can become spiritually perfect in old age is that of King Yayati. King Yayati was a son of King Nahush. He was a very powerful king, and he had Devyani as his wife. Somehow the other, he had another queen, Sharmishtha. We won't go into the whole story. Because of various reasons, he was cursed by his father-in-law, Shukracharya, that he would become an old man. Now, which young man wants to suddenly become old? Would you? No, right? No young person suddenly wants to become old. So then King Yayati fell at Shukracharya's feet and said, please forgive me, please forgive me. Then Shukracharya said, all right, I forgive you, but a curse once uttered cannot be reversed. But I can just modify it. Your old age can be held at bay if some youth is willing to exchange his young age for your old age. So now King Yayati was thinking what to do. He had 5 sons. So he approached them one by one. Son, will you take my old age? Because now he had suddenly become an old man. Will you take my old age and give me your youth? And the first son said, no, I cannot do that. The second son said the same thing. 4 sons said the same thing. And the 5th son, he said, all right, I will do it. What was his name? Puru. He said, I will do it. So he became an old man. And Yayati regained his youth. He got the youth of his son. And for a long, long time, he continued to enjoy his senses unlimitedly. And still he was not happy. Then after that long period of time, he came to his senses. And he realized, even though I have been trying to enjoy in a youthful body, I'm not happy. So then he called his son, Puru, and said, here, my son, take your youth back and give me my old age. So they exchanged. So he got his old age, and he decided, now I have to renounce all this. So then he went into the forest, and he was able to attain spiritual perfection. You see, these things were possible in those days because they had that culture from their childhood. And even in youth, they were accustomed to being sent into the forest to practice austerities before they became king. So that eventually when the time came to renounce the kingdom, they would be able to do that without difficulty. But today there is no training for renunciation and detachment from childhood. So therefore in old age, people are not able to detach themselves because that practice is not there. So in old age, therefore, one can certainly take to Krishna consciousness if one hasn't done it before. But if one has the choice at a younger age, then one should definitely take to Krishna consciousness. We saw many reasons. Are there any other reasons, by the way, why we should take to Krishna consciousness in younger age rather than old age? Yes. The mic? Yeah, you have the mic there? Where is the mic? Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Death is definite and it can come at any point in time. So it's very important to practice the self-realization and eternity of your soul before it leaves the body. So the goal is when because this is the world of the dharti is known as the Mrityu Lok. So if you take the eternity and the soul enlightenment with you by letting others to also glorify and take them to the Devlok. So that's the main attainment of a soul. And as I think a lot of discussions you have mentioned that the practicing at early age is very important.
Yes, very nice. Yes, that point was also made. Very good. Yes, somebody had the hand raised there. Yes, yes. Is the mic?
As a child, a young child, the brain, as we have discussed yesterday, is like a sponge. So we should start with the child as early as possible. Karma builds up right from out of the womb, or maybe even inside the womb. So what happens to a person when he starts at 60, for example? The amount of karma that Lord Yamaraj will have such a big list for him that even Ajimela will look like a child. So putting it off for that long also builds up this amount of negativity that we build up. And to now try and correct that, even the Lord will say, you got lots more to do before you can come to me.
Yes, correct. Very good point. The longer you delay it, the more difficult it will become, because you're accumulating more and more bad karma, more and more negativity. So it becomes harder and harder to come to Krishna consciousness at that age. Very correct. Absolutely. Very nice. Yes.
Yeah, what I wonder or don't understand.
You can just make a brief point about
yeah, very
the reasons.
Brief, very brief.
Yes.
What I say that, yes, if you are on a course of doing Krishna consciousness, maybe for a long time, how to measure that, how much you achieve, which level, 90%, 100%, how do you measure that? Because unless you measure something, you don't know about that parameter at all. That's
yes.
What I understand.
Yeah, right now we are asking about the reasons why we should take to Krishna consciousness in younger age rather than old age. Yes? Yes.
Sir, in any part of training, especially in our culture or in our society, this training is to be imparted right from the beginning. Sanskaras. When the child is born, there are certain religious formalities, putting janeu, etc., so many formalities. Even in modern education, worldwide, it is accepted that education is growth and development of body, mind, and soul.
Yes.
And so-called civilized society today probably feel in the definition the growth and development of soul comes first, then body and mind.
Yes.
So the system itself is incomplete unless this spirituality is not built in entirety, unless
right.
It is not put into system at the earliest.
That's right. Very nice. Thank you.
Or the education will be incomplete.
Yes.
Any part of education will be incomplete unless it is not incorporated as a part in the beginning.
Correct.
Thank you.
So the human form of life is meant for spiritual education and spiritual perfection. And education has to begin early on. We don't say that in old age you should start learning ABCD. You start teaching children from a young age. From the age of 5, they go to the school to learn how to write ABCD. At that time, do you tell them, why are you studying now? Wait till old age and study. Do we say that? We get them to study right from the age of 5. So why not get them to study spiritual education from the age of 5? Why the distinction between material knowledge and spiritual knowledge like that? Prahlad Maharaj says in the Bhagavatam, Kaumara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavataniha durlabham manusham janma tadapyadruvam arthadam. He says one should begin Krishna consciousness, the practice of the Bhagavata Dharma, at the stage of Kumara, Kaumara. Kaumara means Kumaravastha, the stage of childhood. Why? Because even though this human form of life is temporary, it is still arthadam, it is very meaningful. It is adhruvam, meaning temporary, but it is arthadam, meaningful. It is the only life form in which one can attain spiritual perfection. And that requires education. And education starts from the beginning. One doesn't wait to start education till one has become old. And also if one has understood that the goal of life is to become Krishna conscious, why waste our time for the whole life? We have come here for a purpose, so we should get down to that purpose and attain perfection. It is because people do not understand the goal of life that they speak things like this. Just postpone it till old age. Do it when you're old. When you go to a bathroom, a toilet, you do your business and come out quickly. You don't try to make such a comfortable arrangement in the bathroom. And one devotee was mentioning in Germany that he went to one place and there was a toilet that had, it was like a whole house inside the toilet. Magazine racks and library and TV and, you know, sofa also inside the bath and toilet. So I was wondering, is it a toilet or what is it? What kind of place is this? A toilet is a place you go in, finish your business and come out quickly. You're not supposed to divert your energy. You forget why you went there in the first place. You went inside and then you got caught up with something and then you forgot and you're like, oh, I haven't. So similarly, human life, we come here for a purpose. So we should finish it. Start as soon as possible. Don't waste time. Get down to business of life as early as possible so that we can attain perfection in old age. I know one devotee, he's no more now, but this was, I think, in the 90s. He came to Krishna consciousness at the age of 80. 80. And every day, he took to the process so staunchly, everyone was surprised. He was almost blind. He had some eye defects. He could hardly see. And every day he would come to the temple for Mangalarati. Every single day. One devotee who came, who would drive him down, because he used to come for Mangalarati also. But then this devotee who would drive him down, he would leave and go early because he had to go to work. Then this elderly devotee would take the bus. He would walk to the bus stop, wait for the bus, even though he was not able to see anything and he was quite weak and everything. He would climb into the bus. Sometimes it used to be crowded and so on. He would go back home, cook, and then he would eat, and whole day he would be chanting Hare Krishna, reading the Bhagavatam. He used to hold it like this and read. And next morning he was back. He continued that for almost 6 or 7 years, and then he passed away. So he took to Krishna consciousness at 80, which goes to show it gives some solace to those whom have taken to Krishna consciousness later in age. Never mind. Start now. Whatever your age, start now in due earnest. Be very sincere and staunch in your Krishna consciousness. And then prepare for the final moment when it comes. And then leave fearlessly, thinking of Krishna, and go back to Krishna. So that is old age. We talked of middle age. We talked of old vanaprastha life. We talked of old age. After lunch, when we meet, we'll talk of death and post-death in the journey of the soul through the different bodies. Meanwhile, if you have any questions, we have, what's our time? How are we standing? 15 minutes. So we have 10-15 minutes for questions pertaining to what we have discussed so far, either yesterday or today. Yes. So now if somebody tells you, this is not the age to do Krishna consciousness, you should say, yes, this is not the age to start. I should have started 30 years ago. And then if they're willing to hear, you can tell them all these reasons. Have your notebook with you and tell them, look, reason number one, reason number two, reason number three. Yes, questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Where is the question coming from? Yes, yes, okay.
Vanaprastha, when you start 50, so when you start vanaprastha, what is the first step towards vanaprastha?
What is the first step towards vanaprastha? Yes. Of course, nowadays in modern day life, we find that people are obliged sometimes to work till they are 60 and beyond even, because of financial considerations or for whatever reason. So probably we need to give some concession to those who can't quit by 50. But nevertheless, the idea is should be there in our mind that we should be slowing down to know that we must wind up slowly. So the first thing we have to do is to reduce our worldly involvement, which means income-generating activities, money, business, job. Of course, it depends on case to case because everybody's situation will be different. If the financial situation doesn't permit, then at 50 one may need to work for another few years, maybe 5 years, maybe some more. Depends on the situation. But if one's financial situation is reasonably stable and one depends on Krishna, one has faith on Krishna, that Krishna will protect, one should balance out the consideration that Krishna will protect with the practical wisdom of keeping some savings with us. If one just depends on money, money, money is everything with no faith on Krishna, then it's meaningless. What is the point of Krishna consciousness then? If you don't have the faith that we are dependent on Krishna and Krishna will take care of us and protect us. On the other hand, if we whimsically say, well, I'll depend on Krishna and we just leave our family to fend for itself, and then we go and we don't know where the money is coming from, and tomorrow if our faith isn't that strong and when difficulty comes, then it will be a challenge. It may be a challenge even to our faith. So we should have a proper blend or balance between these two ideas, and one should then start giving more time for Krishna's service. One has done one's worldly responsibilities. Children are hopefully a little older now. They're able to live a little bit of their independent life. One should start living a simpler life, not complicating life with too many things. So that is how vanaprastha life will begin in the modern context. give more time for Krishna conscious activities. All right?
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions?
So, same contents, Maharaj.
Yes.
When you save some money, can be start Maya from there again?
If you save some money?
Save money from towards your... That money can be, again, attachment?
So if you have saved some money for your old age, can that money be a cause of attachment? That's your question?
Yes.
Yes, it may be. It may become, but you have to be careful to not allow it to become a source of attachment. You have to keep it there just as a practical necessity of life. And you may not even need all of it. You live a simple life, so your requirements are very minimal. But it's there in case tomorrow you need it for some purpose, like some medical purpose. Or any other reason you want to go to Vrindavan, you want to go to Mayapur, you may need. In those days, people would just walk. Nowadays, it's not a practical thing to do, to walk from Australia to Vrindavan. Okay?
Thank you.
Yes, any other questions? Yes, Mike, please.
Satisfied with gain which comes of its own accord, who is free from duality and does not envy, who is steady in both success and failure, is never entangled although performing action.
Yes.
So I think, why should we worried about anything by saving or this thing? Why not to concentrate more on performing action? And leaving all other worries to Hare Krishna.
Good idea. I heartily endorse your proposal. At the same time, our faith should be on that platform also. If one artificially, prematurely tries to do that, then we will end up in grief. So one's faith must be genuinely on that platform, that we can do it. Right? Okay, yeah, there was a... Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, my question is a little technical. When Prabhupadji, I read in book, he was in MIT, Boston, USA, for the scientists and engineers, for discussion that you can create life from the laboratory. In the lab, you can create life. There is no soul, and scientists are doing the job. And about 40 years happened, nothing has been done, because they say very soon, in the lab, life will come. Even the DNA splicing, this sperm bank, and all this from dead DNA, they are making, transferring the life, but still nothing from the original soul, or soulless point. So people in YouTube and internet and other things, they say, no. Logic is life comes from dead. You can create life from dead things, chemistry. So can I talk some more about this life from life? And the scientists say, no, there is nothing soul. Nothing. You can create life from dead material. Life. So please enlighten us about this.
Yeah, Prabhupada said it's like a post-dated check.
Yes, yes.
Someone comes and tells you, I will give you $50,000. So, well, first at least give me $1,000 cash rather than give me a post-dated check for $50,000, which may never happen, a promise that may never be fulfilled. So, it is not possible to have life from matter, because life fundamentally is different from matter. The characteristics are different. So life is the soul, And even if somehow they're able to create life in the laboratory, it will not be because they created life, but because they created an opportunity where the soul could enter. And that we find in nature as well. When you cut an earthworm into two, they form two earthworms. So soul enters. Unless there's a soul that then occupies and the two parts continue independently also. So the fact that the Bhagavad that life is the soul is a very basic teaching of Bhagavad Gita. And that's our whole topic today. The soul is journeying from the previous life to this human life and then moving from womb to childhood to youth to middle age, old age, death, then departs. This is the movement of the soul. So it is a soul that is moving through. Okay, any other question? One last question. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the class. Maharaj, this question is in reference to Dhritarashtra, whose example you quoted as he accepted Krishna consciousness in his old age. Now when Dhritarashtra passed away when he was doing meditation and through a fire generated in his body that consumed him and then Gandhari and Kunti Devi as well, did he achieve the same perfection as, say, someone like Bhishma Dev, who was a devotee all his life?
Probably not. But Prabhupada does cite him as an example of a person who took to spirituality, took to Krishna consciousness in the old age. Bhishma Deva's passing away was special because he was already a great devotee of Krishna. He had been placed in that position of being in the opposing army for some transcendental reasons and purposes that Krishna had, which we won't get into now. Dhritarashtra was also playing a role ultimately in the whole scheme of things of Krishna's Leela. So all these people who are participating in Krishna's Leela also have something special about them. You can't participate in Krishna's Leela unless you are some extraordinary soul, even if you participate as a villain. Right? Something there. Okay, so we'll stop here. I think 12 o'clock is the time we stop, right? Okay. So when we meet again after lunch, we're already getting old. We've reached old age. Now, after lunch, we're going to be at the point of death. And then in the course of that, somewhere we will die. And then we'll also begin our post-death journey. Okay? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.